What we're going to do today, after the message, we're going to pray for, and so today is going to revolve around praying for the mission trip, and so we'll kind of let you know what's going on, the 12 of us that are going to Honduras, and we need your prayers. Depending on where you look online, first or second most dangerous is San Pedro, where we're going, city in the world. And but we have missionaries that have kids there and that we support. So, but we need your prayer, and definitely we want to take that opportunity after the service. So I'm going to be short this morning, short as I can be, which is to say, a normal sermon anywhere else. That's what you'll get today, which is a short message here. Okay, but I'm excited about this trip, and I know that you all have poured into this ministry with the lunches and all the things that have happened. We're excited about it. We want to pray about it. I want to invite you to Matthew chapter 28 as we're still on our little series of basics. Back to the basics. Let me find Matthew. Here it is. Back to the basics. And we've been all over the map with back to the basics, but today I want to just hone in on the mission. Basics, the basics. What's the mission of the church? We talked about it last week. We talked about what is the church. The church has a mission. It is one thing that makes us different than a lot of great organizations that are doing great things. We have a mission that sets us apart, and that mission is to tell the good news about what Jesus has done. It's good news, so I just personally feel like if a church is known to be sort of a hateful thing, and they're so mean-spirited and always beating people up, that goes to me against what it is to have good news. We have good news. This should be an uplifting place to come to because it's good news. It's good news that Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago, that we can have relationship with the God of the universe. That's good news. That's not hateful. There's nothing hateful about that. We have good news. So I want to just look at this very quickly today. I'll look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All authority, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, we've touched on this in the past, saying, all authority, how much authority? All authority. All authority has been given to me, to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, there's an authoritative backing behind what we do when we go on this mission trip. Why are we doing it? There's an authority that we're under. We're under the authority of the God of the universe and the person of Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, just ask right now that you'd be with us, and we believe that there's authority in your word, and we believe that your word is our guidebook. It is the authority that we have to live by. We trust it. We believe that as the word goes out in the way that you've promised, where the seed of the word goes out, that it will plant in hearts and that it will bring forth fruit on tender soil. God, help us to be receptive to what you're teaching us today. And we pray in advance now for our mission trip and this wonderful church that is sending us on this trip. We pray that we will fulfill this commission in a very small measure, in a way that honors you and glorifies you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus came up and spoke to them with authority. I love I listened to this song. How many of you ever heard that song? You may not have heard it, but I grew up old school. I always listened to Steve Green, and there's that song, The Mission. How many ever heard that Steve Green song, The Mission? Like five of you. Okay, great. Great. You got to listen to this song. It's old school. It's an old sort of song, but the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. It's a great song. I was every time I think of the Great Commission. What is God calling us to do as a church? It's to talk about the good news to all the world, starting with, and I think this is important for us to know, starting with Jerusalem first. So we're passionate about that. We're passionate about reaching Tiffin. Reaching Tiffin is our first priority. Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, that's great. We need to do that. But our first priority is to minister to this city that we have right here. And I just have to say, I don't think a lot of churches are doing a good job at that commission. Kelly talked about in the newsletter this week that people come to church out of invitation. I don't even know how many people are just inviting people to church anymore. How much of that, 75% of people or something like that come to church because they've been invited to church. We have a great church. We're wanting to accomplish something big. We have a mission to reach this city for Jesus. Then as we do well at that mission, we go out and we expand that territory. So eventually we want to do a good job at contributing to reach Findlay. At some point, we want to do a good job at contributing to reach Samaria, and eventually we want to reach the world. So we've got mission stuff going on. This is part of it. We want to go out and reach Honduras. Going to Honduras, want to reach Honduras. But I'm more concerned, and I've said this, I've told our group this, we're going to make an impact in Honduras, and we should. And we should. But I'm more concerned that God will call some of our kids that are going on this trip to call them to a bigger plan for their life than being a dentist. Any dentist in here? I think I'm pretty safe. All right. So not against dentistry. I'm for it. Love it. We need good dentists, but we need people from this church to be called to do the job that God's calling us to do. So I'm more interested in, even as we think about Honduras, I'm more interested in our church being called to reach this city for Jesus in a more meaningful, deeper way. So everybody that gave money to lunches and supported some of our kids, you have supported hopefully something much bigger than a meal, or you've supported God advancing this kingdom, this work of His in an awesome way. So I'm excited about that. I think we ought to be excited. Is this the first? Has this church gone on mission trips? Anybody that's been here for years, when's the last time we went on a mission trip? Do you know Danita? Danita's our resident historian. Okay, so in the 80s, it's been a minute. We want to do it now. We want to build this into our culture as a church, that we're doing mission trips on a regular basis. I was called to ministry out of a mission trip. I believe that's how God does it. And I think that if we're going to see a church where young people are called to ministry and to deeper life in Jesus, then mission trips are an important part of that equation. So I want to look at this passage. God says in the person of Jesus, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus says, go therefore. It's really interesting that the word go there, okay, it means more than go. I mean, it is go, but in the original language, it is a, get this, get ready for your grammar review. In the original language, this is a gerund or a participle. Anybody here know what that means? It ends in an ing. It ends in ing. How many remembered that? It was a good review. It was a good review. All right, it's a good English review for those of you that couldn't remember. Gerund or a participle is a word that ends in ing. And even though in Greek it didn't end in ing, it has that idea that that it's something that's ongoing action. It's ongoing action. So in this case, a gerund in English would be like, I'm walking, right? I'm walking. This is something I'm currently doing. Now, I'm not walking now, but I just started again. I'm walking again. Continuing action. Are you following me? This is. It's interesting. Why is Jesus saying that? This is the third time the Great Commission had been given. So Jesus rose from the dead, as we all know, and he showed up to the disciples five, possibly six different times, but certainly five times. And it appears that he did it five different Sundays until finally he ascended back to heaven. So this is actually the third Sunday, different location, different place, the third Sunday that Jesus is giving the commission again. And it had already been given once. And then it was given a second time. This is the third time. And now every time, if you study these Great Commission passages, you see that Jesus is building on what he's already said. So in John 20, where Jesus says it the first time to go into the world, it's a very basic, broad brushstroke sort of message. And he builds on it. And here, Jesus is reiterating the same thing. And so he doesn't have to say to go as a command anymore. He's already said it. This is not a command like we read it in English. Go, therefore, and teach all nations. In the original language, the force is not go and do this. The force is as you are going. It's implied that we're already doing it. Does that make sense? The force is not go and do it. The force is while you're going, as you are going, since you are going, as this process happens, this is the way it ought to be done. And I think that's a very important small element to this passage that's important to understand. It's not a command. We're already assumed to be doing it. It's assumed that what this church is doing the job of the Great Commission. We don't have to be told we're already doing it. We're going to our neighborhoods. We're going into downtown. We're doing what we have to do to be salt and light to this community. We're sharing the good news with people. We need to do a better job at that. We thought about, as an elder group, something I feel real passionate about. I don't know when we're going to do it, but I know that the Lord's going to open up this ministry at some point. Adopt a block ministry where you own a block for 2 years. You adopt a block. And you go and you knock on doors once a quarter on those doors on that city block. And you just ask people, say, is there any way we can pray for you? It doesn't matter if you go to our church or not. We just want to pray for you, minister to you, and hopefully open up opportunities to share your faith with people. Adopt them. They could just expect you once a quarter to knock on the door and we're just checking it. I'm responsible for your block. I'm praying for your block and I'm knocking on those doors. And so people get accustomed to it. So I would like to see all the blocks all the way around this city covered where somebody's responsible for ministering to those needs. And if we can meet a need, we will. If we just pray for you, then some people are going to slam the door on you and we're going to pray for them even harder. Why? Because we need to do a good job at getting this message out. And we're not knocking on the doors as a pretense to share the message, but I believe that the more people you know, the more opportunities you're going to have to share your faith with people. Because we want to do that. We don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know when we're starting Adopt a Block. I just know it's something that I'm passionate about doing. Maybe somebody out there right now, your heart's beating at this ministry and saying, I want to take a block. And somebody else says, and then you can run with this ministry and say, I want to start Adopt a Block, and we'll go ahead and do five blocks by the end of next week. Why? Because we need to be a church that's out doing the job. We're going. It's assumed that we're going. It's assumed that that's what we're doing. Remember when I went on my first mission trip in 1993. I was 18 years old. I just graduated. In fact, I graduated the day before. So I graduated on my birthday, May 23rd. And the next day, I went on this mission trip to Guatemala. And I've told the story. Going on this mission trip was a basketball mission trip. And so we played the Guatemala national team. Our high school did. We played that's the team that plays in the Pan Am games. So we played this team, and we got smoked. But there's no doubt about it. We got beat. But it was a good game, and you'd be proud of your pastor as the point guard. But whatever. And I mean, back then, back in the day, I was liquid Drano out there. I couldn't miss. But these guys were quick. There's no doubt about it. They were quick. But we scored some points. I scored against the Guatemala national team. That ought to be on my tombstone. I scored points against the Guatemala national basketball team. So we went and did that. We played 20 games like in a week. It was ridiculous. Played two or three games a day. And shared our faith. And I don't remember anything other than that game. I don't remember any detail about any game. But I remember a missionary that was there, this woman that had lived in the States, felt a passion for Guatemala and sold everything that she had, built a house in the middle of the dump in downtown Guatemala City, lived there. And had a school in the middle of the dump at her house to minister to the kids that lived in the dump. And I remember saying that if this lady can do that, surely I've got gifts and abilities that God can use for his glory. Now, I was tender enough, thank God, not because of me, but because of people that had poured into me, sensitive enough to know that God was wanting to use me. Wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I was willing. And I think that's an important part of ministry, is being willing to do it. God's word says, he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good work. Just the willingness is a big hurdle. There aren't many people willing to, that's big picture. That's sell your house, go and live in a foreign land in the middle of disease, in the middle of nobody's going to minister to these people, but I'll do it. That's crazy. I'm not doing that anytime soon. I don't feel a call, but I much prefer living in Tiffin and ministering to you all, if that's just all right with you. But many of us aren't willing to go next door. Many of us aren't willing to go around the block. We're not even talking about reaching dump kids. And God's calling us to something bigger. If God's going to bless this church, then he's going to assume that the work that's happening here is a going on process of reaching people, loving people, ministering to people, being salt and light, having opportunities to share the good news. We don't have to be called to Guatemala to minister to our neighbors. I'm afraid we're not doing a great job. That's not a criticism as much as it is just a reality check. Go therefore and make disciples is the call. While you are going, this is what you ought to be doing. Making disciples of all kinds of nations. Acts 1:8 clarifies what that looks like. We're moving into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. And we're baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Micah, you don't have to turn there. Acts 1:8. This is the last time Jesus shares this commission. But you shall receive power. This is the way Jesus puts it in Acts 1:8. Jesus is about to be ascended into heaven and leave earth for good until he returns again. This is what he says, the last time, very last words. This is the last words Jesus says on earth. You reckon this is important? He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while we were looking at him, and the clouds received him out of our sight. End of story. Jesus ascends. So the very last words Jesus says, this is the commission. This is what God's heartbeat is. This is what we ought to be doing. You shall receive power. I don't accept, we've said this before, that part of this commission is an understanding that God is powerful, able, and willing to do, God's word says, abundantly above all that we ask or think. As God's word says, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We all famously know that the word for power is, in the original language is dunamis power, which is where we get the word dynamite from the Greek word dunamis. That's the word for power here. Does it occur to you at all that the church, the modern day church in America, the average everyday church, 3,000 churches in America close every year, that church that we're all too familiar with has the kind of power that Jesus is talking about here? Is there a gap in your mind from what you feel and see and recognize as the American church and what Jesus describes here? I think so, clearly. Clearly. We should have the power of the Holy Spirit working on our behalf. Dynamite kind of power to accomplish really great things for the cause of Jesus. We said a few weeks ago, right, that the church is a church that should be busting through the enemy gates and taking on enemy ground. And I'm afraid that's something that we don't see very often. With the kind of church that Jesus is describing is one in which the Holy Spirit is working powerfully. Not the kind of closing because nobody's coming, closing because no life, no vibrancy whatsoever. And then worse, churches come up with theologies that seek to explain why nobody's coming to church. Are you following me? Like, I mean, you've heard it. You know what I'm talking about? And we get accustomed with sort of, oh, well, it's the liberal churches that grow. The ones that really love Jesus, they really never grow. So again, I'm saying I don't think that's the biblical model. That's a great excuse, and liberal churches may grow, or churches that don't teach God's word or whatever, but it doesn't mean that godly churches shouldn't be growing. I feel like nobody's here today. Is everybody here? Okay. Just making sure, like I was sort of waking up from a dream. Nobody's here. I have nightmares about preaching to people that are asleep. Those are the kind of nightmares that I have. The panic. So, man, I just preached a message. Everybody fell asleep. That's the kind of dream a pastor has, that nightmare. This is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I'm calling this church, I want to call this church to a new day where we are taking enemy ground. We don't accept status quo and stagnation as good thing, where we don't accept dead as a good thing, where we're saying the Holy Spirit's going to come and something powerful is going to happen in our midst in accordance to His will. And God's going to move the ball forward in a way that we've never seen before. I know a lot of churches grow that because they're whatever, people like the programs or whatever, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with programs. But I want to grow because we're doing the commission well. I want to grow because we're reaching people well. I don't want to grow because we've got great programs and people from other churches wind up coming here, and the next thing you know, we just got a whole bunch of transfer growth one church to another. That's not power. That's not Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit power is we're doing something different in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God's making something that's old, bringing it and making it new, bringing life to death. That's what God's calling us to. So this week we're going Tuesday. This is the first time Mike has been on a mission trip, and we're going to have a great time. In fact, I'm already so excited. I'm so excited. I don't want to say too much because... we're good. So one thing I'm going to do, Mike already knows I'm going to do this, but I love doing this kind of thing, is like when we start to take off, I'm going to be like, you know, most crashes happen in the first 2 minutes. So once we get past that, we're fine. Is that a bad idea? But it's fun. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm losing sleep about being able to say that. And it'll be fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a great time. But great time is not what we need. What we need is God to meet us. What we need is God to change. I'm talking about me. And our kids, that God will minister in a way that kids, I mean, some of us aren't kids. Lindley's going, she's not a kid. But for God to meet us and accomplish something great, and you all's prayer is going to be so important. So in a few minutes after we take our offering, we're going to, in the biblical model, where Paul is going out as a missionary and the church is sending Paul, commissioning Paul to go out and do this great work. In that way, this church is sending us. You understand that, right? This church, we're going under the umbrella of the protection and the calling of this church, calling us out to accomplish this work. You all are important to what God is doing. And so we're going to pray. The elders are going to pray for Lucas and I and the group. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. So are you ready? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do some announcements. I'm going to take our offering, and then we're going to have a quick time of prayer. Lord, we love you. And we pray now for Spirit of God to be here. God, help us to be a church that is going. That's what we do. We're going to our neighborhoods. We're going to our blocks. We're going to our cities, our neighbors. And we are about the call that you've called us to do. We love you. We ask that you'd bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.